Coming up on TMS, drinking coffee might really be helping your memory.
Scott dreamt he went bowling with a superhero.
This man has no butt crack.
Yes, it's true. Dude believes that drinking cow pee is the secret to long and healthy life.
Bieber likes his eggs tossed at the neighbor's window.
The salad. Marvel makes a very strange move for Ant-Man.
Oh, it's too strange in my opinion. Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, this is where I live.
Before you go in, there's something I'd like to tell you.
Oh?
I really admire the way you never cast harsh shadows.
Thank you.
And you weren't glary like standard bulbs.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the GE soft white bulbs.
Gloria?
Yes?
I love you.
We love you, too.
Wow, I wish GE Soft Whites didn't come in a four-pack.
General Electric Soft Whites. They couldn't glare less.
Okay, guys, serious debate topical question we have going on. We had a big Twitter feud over this. I tweeted, do dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Up, down, up, down. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Brian, did you seriously want to know if dogs have brains?
I want to know if dogs... Well, actually, I know dogs have brains. I see them licking them all the time.
Yeah, that's a serious Twitter debate going on, though.
Oh my God.
Do dogs have brains? Because I seriously wanted to know.
Yeah, who is... Is this just some random
It's some
YouTuber?
Chick on YouTube. Okay. Here she is again.
Do dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
Oh, my gosh, dude. It's one of those... Let me describe to you the YouTube channel. And it came up...
She is the character that... what is it? Ariel Hyatt. It's the other one. Plays on Modern Family.
Oh, right. You know, it's pretty much. Yeah.
Haley.
Yeah, the older daughter. Except she's sweet and charming in some ways. This person didn't seem to have any of that. But I was flipping around pages on YouTube, and I was watching one of my fail videos that I enjoy. And accidentally, I'm a big fan of anybody crashing on a skateboard. It's just I don't know what it is. I'm all in. So I'm watching that. I'm clicking around, and then I'm like, you know, I need to get some commercials for TMS this week. And I do a search for something. I'm like, well, that doesn't look like it belongs in this result. I click it, and it's this girl who I just played, who's got clearly as bleached hair as you can have. She looks a lot like... Who's Ice-T's wife?
Coco.
She looks a lot like her, but younger.
Okay.
But by that, I mean just that tan isn't real. Those boobs aren't real.
Right.
Then there's very little real going on.
Everything is aftermarket.
Yep, yep.
You're not looking at any stock parts.
Yep, and the camera, the webcam, is positioned, not unlike mine, funny enough, but kind of... up at an angle so that you can get the best valley shot of the boobage,
sure,
of the breastage,
yes,
right?
Yes, capitalizing on the cleavage.
Sure. Right, CC, exactly.
Yes.
So, or COC, capitalize on cleavage. Admiral Adama, report to COC. Anyway, the point of it all is that I thought, well, okay, fine, I clicked it, it's an accident, but let's hear what she has to say. And it was this diatribe.
I'm hoping that we finally get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, it was a diatribe about how whether or not dogs have functional cranial cavities and brains.
Sure.
She didn't use the word cranial or cavity once, but I'm just pointing out. Yeah.
I'm sure like was sprinkled in there pretty heavily.
Oh, I've never heard so many likes. There are less likes on Facebook today than there were in her thing. I mean, it was out of control. She just was. It was this the most shallow, empty. Black hole of a human being. Now, I am not trying to disparage another life form, okay?
Sure.
She can go on about her day, but she isn't helping. So if we have a problem with kind of stereotypes of airheady, you know, dippy girls that think they're, you know, whatever our problems are with misogyny. Mm-hmm. She isn't helping the cause is all I'm getting at. She's hurting it. She's making it worse. And it was very, you know, just kind of empty calorie, kind of Jersey Shore kind of stuff going on there. But I thought that part was funny. So I captured it. for those just joining us.
Do dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
Does this girl on YouTube have a brain?
I would like seriously wanted to know.
Yeah, because I, like, seriously wanted to know. Ugh. I bet she says that to all the bulbs.
I bet you say that to all the GE soft white bulbs.
I like it when my girls pretend to be light bulbs. Anyway, so there's that. It's not what I really wanted to talk about today, but we bring it up nonetheless.
Sure.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2014, and it is, so that'd be 1-14-14. You know, we're all out of, Brian, until like another 1,000 years or 100 years, I guess. We're all out of the 2202s.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore. The 12-12-12, or sorry, yeah, 12-12.
Yeah, 12-12 was the last one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was the last time you could do it.
Yeah.
11-11-11 was a big deal. That was when Skyrim came out.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I mark the dates. But we're out of those for a very long time. You and I will not be alive the next time somebody can do whatever you would call that number sequence, can do that with the date.
1-1-1. Yeah, right. Yeah. But we'll still get the, 12-13-14, so on December 13th, we'll get a 12-13-14. We'll get sequentials.
Yeah, but you'll never get a, 12-13-14. But then the next year, you won't even get that, right? Because
there's no 13th
there's
month.
There's no 13th right. month. It's March.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. See? Don't let this keep you up at night, though.
Oh, no.
Because here's what keeps me up at night. Dreams about Brian's severed head, that keeps me up.
Right, sure.
I didn't dream about that last night, but last night I had a dream.
Okay.
That Witchblade, the comic book character.
Yeah.
When she's not Witchblade, what her name is.
She doesn't have the big arm thing going on.
She doesn't have the big, the gauntlet that, and otherwise naked.
Right.
The comic's a little, speaking of misogynistic comics. But I've always liked it. I was a big Silvestri fan in the early Image days. I think he's kind of rad. And I liked his work. I like the darkness. There's some good stuff going on there. Anyway, I like Witchblade a lot. But I haven't read Witchblade comics and probably last picked one up 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. My wife has recently been reading it, though, which I didn't know about. We all went to the comic book shop, and she just picked out a big graphic novel compilation kind of paperback thing, and it turned out to be a Witchblade thing, and I didn't even know it. So she's been reading it. But I can't explain otherwise how I would have this dream, because I haven't touched a Witchblade comic. I don't even remember the Yancey Butler show that was based on it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember that?
Now that
big
you
eyes?
Say that, I remember there was a Yancey Butler show, but mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Her stressed out, hard target eyes that she has. Anyway, for unbeknownst reason known to me, and I put this on Twitter this morning as well, I dreamt that I went bowling with Witchblade.
Okay, now this, we have to go right to the question, right to the important question, by the way.
Okay.
By the way, it's funny. He was actually the one who did the Uncanny X-Men Star Trek crossover that we talked about yesterday.
Oh, that was Silvestri.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great. Weird. He's the top cow guy now, I think, which is part of DC.
That's right, yes.
Anyway. Yep. Great.
Okay. So anyway, did she bowl with the arm with the gauntlet on it?
I knew you would ask this.
Yeah. Well, it's, some people wear a wrist.
Yeah.
A wrist straightener. I actually wear a wrist straightener when I bowl.
She wears an ancient demonic gauntlet when she bowls. It is exactly what she did. She used the claw hand or the cool gauntlet hand to bowl. And I remember in the dream, part of me was thinking this is normal because that's what you do in dreams, like your severed head thing.
Right.
But another piece of me was going, oh, wait, that's not quite right. You couldn't bowl with that. That's like having giant scissors. Let's say Edward Scissorhands bowling with his right hand. You can't do that. But sure enough, that's what she did. And she beat me. The scores are very clear to me. She rolled, or she played a 115, which isn't great, but it's still better than I did. I did 80.
I love that. You remember the scores even.
I do. Totally. The scores were a huge deal of the dream. Like by the end of it, it was
that's
a big
funny.
Deal. And she was talking smack.
Oh,
she's,
sure.
She's clomping around the. Oh, that's the other thing. Very vividly in the dream, she is. Excuse me. She has torn up the wooden planks of the lane.
Oh, really?
Because her whole body is the gauntlet now.
Right. But so she didn't rent shoes?
She didn't
use the.
No, she just. And that's a really good point. And had I been awake enough in my dream, so to speak, I could have noticed. But yes, she was clomping around in like the fake devil shoes that she has on when she's wearing that thing.
Wow.
And it was the best part of it is the place is packed. I felt like it was like midnight bowling, you know, where there's disco balls and all that. I feel like that was going on, but it was kind of, that part was vague. But I do remember very specifically nobody thinking anything was wrong with what was going on. All these other standby bystanders all around us at different lanes, not even noticing her. At one point, I do remember this in the dream. At one point, she gets up to bowl, and you know that awkward thing where, and you're a big bowler, so you could probably speak to this, but what is the protocol when you stand up to bowl? Dude next to you, lane next to you gets up to bowl. Who goes first if you get up there like at the same time?
That's a good question. I usually look to see if there's somebody on the other side of them. And if they're going to end up having to wait for that person, then I go. Otherwise, you just kind of look and one of you says, oh, go ahead.
Okay. So you it's really just a courtesy thing.
Right. It is. Yeah. I don't know. There's probably some protocol. Well, it's always going to be the person furthest to the right.
Yeah. But, there probably is some weird rule.
There is. Yeah. Whoever gets to the stop sign first.
Exactly. So in her case,
wearing the lighter colored outfit,
she would get up with her bowling ball. And often this would happen. In the dream, the recollection is the other guy would get up too at the same time. And they would always defer to her. Not because she was some gauntlet, crazy demon witch woman, but because they were just being polite. Like it was really kind of nice. Oh, no, go ahead. You go ahead. It was weird, man. Why That's am I dreaming really about funny. Stuff like that?
That's a really, really funny dream.
Yeah. I don't get it.
So did she do any, like, you know, was she, did she play a lot of body English, like where she's like, you know, kind of moving to get the ball to go where she wants it? Or is she hook? Is she a straight bowler?
This is not, these details are now vague. I'm trying to think if she.
Did she bring her own ball?
Yes. That part I remember.
She didn't use a house ball.
No.
So but she brought a bag in.
Yeah, but let me tell you, that's funny
about
that.
Was the bag like all metallic?
No, it didn't have like a big old stone in it glowing or anything. It was just a straight up like black bag, and inside was like a blue bowling ball. Like, you know, sky blue, like your grandma would have in the closet, like that. It wasn't anything special, which I thought was really odd. So in dreams, everything seems fine and normal. I don't even know if I'm on a date with her. It doesn't even feel like that. It felt like just, hey, we're buddies. You haven't been in town in a while. Come on over, Witchblade. Let's go bowling. We haven't done that in ages. Sure, that sounds great.
Sarah Pizzini.
Yeah, let me just put on my weird thing that I do, and I'll be right over. So anyway, then I lost, and I yelled.
No.
And she said, F off.
Then I said,
no.
Anyway, there's my dream, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I was going to say one more thing about it. I forgot what it was.
No.
Ah, crap. What was it?
No.
All right, am I gonna say it? Oh, by the way, people have said that Nick sounds like Edward Furlong in Terminator 2.
Huh?
In that clip.
No.
What do you think?
No, I would say like not Chris Tucker, but somebody, you know, like some jive talking. No.
Oh, okay. Chris Tucker's a good example, though.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of Jackie Brown, and he's in that.
Oh, is he really?
He gets, Samuel L. Jackson puts him down at some point, and he's screaming in a trunk when he does it, and it's great. But let's see.
No!
Yeah, I could hear that. That's not too bad. All right, well, me and Brian Ibbotson over here.
Brian Ibbotson.
He and I are going to have a show, and I'm going to tell you real quick that I know Brian's a coffee drinker. You like it.
I do.
You're a fan.
Drinking some right now.
And, you know, you do your cover-thon to help fight Alzheimer's. It all goes to a good foundation and, you know, trying to help do research to help folks with Alzheimer's and ultimately work toward if not a cure, at least a way of staving it off in people's later years and things like that, which is always a great thing. Turns out, Brian, you might be helping yourself by drinking all that coffee. But I'd ask you this first, to establish a baseline.
Sure.
How good do you think your memory is? Now, you're a trivia dude, so I'm going to say, if I had to guess, I'm going to say you're going to be modest and say, oh, I think I'm pretty, but I think you probably got a really good one.
I think I've got a pretty good memory, yeah.
Okay. You feel pretty good about your memory.
I feel pretty good about my memory.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. Researchers have found that 200 milligrams of caffeine, that's what's found in a strong cup of coffee, average cup of coffee.
Single cup, okay.
Boosted memory 24 hours later after drinking it.
Oh, wow, really?
According to this study, put on the coffee, brew some tea, here's another good reason to enjoy a cup of Java daily. A new study suggests that caffeine may play a role in enhancing memory. There are many ways people consume it, but yada, yada, yada. Johns Hopkins University recruited 161 healthy participants who did not regularly consume caffeinated products. Participants studied a series of images, then 5 minutes later took either 200 milligrams of caffeine in tablet form, about the amount of caffeine in a strong cup of coffee, or a placebo. Next day, dudes what took placebo kind of were fuzzy on what they saw. Dudes that took the coffee or the caffeine totally had way better recall.
Wow, interesting.
So it could be that that morning thing you do, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people I know do it just to get their guts going, you know?
That's kind of what I do. I mean, I would say it's less for the, it's certainly not because I had any idea there was any sort of memory benefits. And I would say that my trivia recall abilities have been, lasted a lot longer. I didn't start drinking coffee until about, 5-10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
yeah, I wasn't a big coffee drinker.
It seems like it's not even so much of a long-term thing. It's more of according to the study anyway, it's more like this quick, you get quick results memory-wise.
Right.
So who knows if it does anything in the long term for anybody who may potentially have genetic tendency toward Alzheimer's or something like that. This doesn't really go into that, but they talk about this example, them being identified similar items at slightly, as slightly different from the original picture. The brain's ability to recognize the difference between two similar but not identical items reflects a deep level of memory discrimination, according to this doctor. That's all kind of boring, but this is interesting right here. And another example of pattern separation is remembering where one's car is parked today versus yesterday, he said. This type of discrimination is involved in every facet of memory, and everybody who did this test did better with that kind of abstract memory use, like remembering that this photo, like, here's the deal. You could show a picture of, let's say you didn't know who Hitler was, all right?
Sure.
Picture of Hitler the first day with no mustache. Show the picture the next day with a mustache. Mm-hmm. The people without the caffeine were less likely to notice there was a change.
There was a different mustache, yeah. Right?
And they would just say, oh, he probably had a mustache. The people who didn't, or did rather, noticed, wait, he had facial hair before.
Huh.
So anyway, just so you know,
very interesting.
24
yeah.
hours from now, drink right now. So tomorrow on the show, you'll be amazing with your memory. That's the way to do it.
So I need to drink some coffee, then consume a bunch of trivia, and then drink some more coffee the next morning, and it'll be like, oh, everything you saw is retained in that. Gotcha. Because I have a big competition coming up later this month
in August, Austin, yeah,
in Austin, Texas, on the 25th Geek Bowl.
Used to be in Denver, and no
yes.
longer.
Yes. No, I know. Now seems... I'd have to pay to fly to this thing and get a hotel.
That sucks. But you get barbecue, it'll be fine.
I will get some good barbecue. This is true.
So my point was, and here's the other point I want to make. So that's an interesting study and all, but give it a month or two and then we'll have another one about how too much caffeine is causing your penis to invert or something.
Of course. I know. It's always something. It's like, hey, this, drink a lot of this. It's really good for you. Except if this happens, and then it's horrible. Yeah.
Doctors say you should eat as many eggs as you can. Oh, shoot. You shouldn't have done that. You're going to have four heart attacks.
Wash it down with wine. Oh, wait.
Oh,
wine.
Dang it. Red wine every day is good for you. No, it's not. You're drunk. All righty. Well, there you go. Just some fun facts for this morning.
Very cool. Yeah. I like that.
Here to share. All right. Let's call Daryl. Feel like we're just rolling today, man. We are hauling ass.
Yes, we are.
All right. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, and here's his damn theme. Why is nothing going on? It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Derp needs the help of the Frog Pants community. Derp, a.k.a. Andrew Smith, kinetic artist and trophy creator for the Frog Pants All-Stars, has been nominated for a Shorty Award. The Shorty Awards honor the best in social media across the web. This year, they've launched a new category, Vineographer, for those creating unique content on Vine. To vote for Derp, please visit shortyawards.com/derpvine. Here you can view an awesome campaign trailer.
Yeah. He's really talented. Support him.
Do it.
He's
nominate him today.
So Daryl is there. Hi, Daryl.
Yes. Yes, I am.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Are you less Eeyore today and more Piglet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm more of anything besides Eeyore.
Oh, okay. Great.
And this coffee thing, I think that's, well, maybe it's true for some people, but it's not for me. I have no memory. And I drink gallons of coffee all the time.
Well, maybe you're past the point of diminishing returns.
It could be. Yeah.
It starts going backwards, I think, right, after a while.
You're like you're like HDTV, diminishing returns over time. Talked about that on Current Geek, didn't we, a little bit?
Yep.
So, Daryl, it's always a pleasure. And you're here again to maintain, so far, a perfect record for the last 5 episodes in a row. Actually, probably longer than that. I didn't keep track of the ones before that. But you're doing really well, and so we don't want to stop this train from rolling on into town, if you know what I'm saying. Daryl's a Trek nerd, comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek that are compiled by Mike Icewarm, and he's the man. So thanks for doing those, Mike. We never thank you enough. Here's your question for today. It's an original series episode. We haven't done one of these in a while. In the original series episode, I, Mud, an android hijacks the Enterprise and brings it to a planet ruled by Harry Mud. There are many androids on this planet that obey him. They're all like fembots, right? They were ladies. He also has an android replica of his wife. What is the name of Harry Mudd's wife? Is it
Stella?
Is it
you
A?
Dirty, rotten thing.
Bridget, Leslie, Sandra, or Stella? Sounds like we have a winner already. But before you get too deep into that, and because we remember to do it today.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We are going to test something from the box. And you guys had yesterday these kind of like fused ginger candy things.
Right. Well, we opened it. I don't think Daryl ate his either. I think yours was fused to the wrapper too.
Yeah, it was.
So you only had one, Daryl. Brian, you have a couple, didn't you?
I have a couple.
I have another one. I have a lemon one, I think.
Yeah, I have a lemon one as well. Let's try these out. I'm not usually a big ginger fan. Although,
except on Gilligan's Island, she was pretty good.
Oh, she was great. I liked Marianne, though, better. That's actually true. I much prefer Marianne.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh, it's another enchantment gem.
This one is less stuck to the wrapper. I might have a chance with this one.
Mine's all gooey. Is it supposed to be gooey?
Oh, mine is perfectly fine.
Okay. All right, good. We've got a good day ahead of us. I appreciate the lemon. I'm not sure how I feel about the ginger, but occasionally, like if I drive long distances, I get a little car sick, and if I eat ginger of some sort, that helps.
Supposed to help in that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, mine is completely separated out.
So here we go. Looks like a little gummy turd. And
It's like a little implant, like for a bird or something, like a boob implant.
A boob implant.
You know, for a bird. That's not bad.
For a bird's boob. Ooh, it's spicy.
Yeah, it's got a little kick, doesn't it? Not real bad.
Maybe I'm having a different one than you guys. Mine's lemon and it's not spicy.
It comes late.
Mine was lemon also.
Yeah, it comes late. The spicy does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
These are from Old Kiki? Is that what I'm reading there?
No, these are from...
Yes, the brand is Gold Kiki. I deleted the... I tore the G off. I look like old. Who sent these so we can just give proper credit? It's part of that big box, I think.
Mary sent these.
That's right. These are Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't like that because I don't like ginger. Like when they bring me ginger at the sushi places, I don't ever eat it. I hate it.
Oh, really?
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-mm. Can't do it.
Love dipping the edge of it into the soy and then...
Ugh.
Num, 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 num.
I'm a crazy person. It's my thickened liquid. That's what that is. All right.
Wow.
Well, it's taking forever to chew.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of
like gum.
Swallowed mine whole.
Wow. All right.
Probably not a good thing to do.
I'm done with the bird implant. Oh, you really didn't get a little spice off that, Daryl? You've been drinking too much coffee or something.
I'm amazed. Yeah.
No, not at all.
And I got some spice off that.
This has to be a different one then.
Is it yellow?
No spice. Also.
Does it just say ginger, chewy ginger candy, lemon flavor, and got a little red bowl with an egg looking thing?
Well, this doesn't say ginger on it. It just says yuzu gummy candy.
Oh, that's different. No, you ate a different thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you ate the... Yeah, it wasn't the ginger.
Hmm.
Okay, that's the only one I have.
I don't know what a ginger is, but I'll know it when I see it. Okay, there you go. Daryl, let's get to birthdays. Who in the hell in Star Trek was born today so we can celebrate?
That would be Duke Muskian. He played Chief Gillespie on the TNG episode Night Terrors.
I can't think what that... Night Terrors. Somebody had bad dreams all the time.
That's the one where, what's her name that feels her body?
Deanna Troi.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. She has a dream. Well, not a bowling dream, but actually, maybe it was
my
a bowling
body.
Dream.
Yep, that's the one.
My body.
My body.
Two circles circling or something.
Two circles circling?
Yeah, she has a dream about that, and it ends up being a hydrogen atom.
Oh, that's right. And something's in her. Like, something gets in her or something.
No, no, that's a different one.
Oh. They were always violating her. You notice that? Oh, man. Didn't anyone ever give her the advice? Don't let nobody pick your bum. Don't let nobody pick your bum. Daryl, that is great. Happy birthday to him. Is he still with us? He's still with us.
Yeah, he's 61. Oh, he's still around.
Still kicking it. That's fantastic. Back to your question. Original series, I'm Mud. Bridget, Stella, Leslie, or Sandra was the name of this wife. You said Stella, but are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, because I like how she tells Mud off.
Yeah, I remember that. But wasn't this the same episode where Kirk confused them and all the other fembots could not understand it, so they started smoking from the ears and shut down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same one.
That's really dumb. That's super, super dumb. These robot ladies would just melt down and die like that. That was just dumb.
Now that's what Kirk did.
Yeah, it was the basis for Data or Lore or whoever. All right, well, let's find out from the judges if you're correct. Is he?
Congratulations!
Of course he is.
You're a winner!
Wife's name's Stella. Replica of her just stands there. However, at the end of the episode, the replica gets activated and starts nagging at Mud.
Yeah.
Also, more androids of her enter and nag him even further, and that's when they teleport out of there and just leave him getting nagged, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how it went. Here you go.
Harcourt, Vincent Mud, what have you been up to? Have you
shut
been
up,
drinking
shut,
again? You answer
Stella,
me.
Shut up.
You miserable.
I order you.
Toad.
Shut up, Stella.
Going out all night and then giving me loud, silly stories. Harcourt. You've been overeating again and drinking me.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You know what it's like? It's like the voice in the Wall song, Another Brick in the Wall.
No, do it again.
Oh.
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? That kind of thing. That's great. Wow, what a dumb episode. I hate the Mud ones. I really don't like them. They're only like two, right? Two or three?
Yeah.
Not a fan. I know it's kind of the basis for maybe the spiritual basis for like Q in a weird way, because he's kind of just this obnoxious guy that just messes with everything and isn't quite very honest and you don't really trust what he's doing. I think there's a place for that kind of thing in Star Trek, but God, I just can't do the Mud stuff. Just can't do it. Daryl, congratulations. You are on a roll, sir.
Yay.
Not that you haven't done this before, but man, it feels something feels destiny about this. 2014, man. Daryl's never going to get a question wrong ever again.
I doubt that.
Probably not. So let's get you out of here. It's The Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is a part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, and he leaves us now with some sort of trivia game.
Okay, what is this? It's a Star Trek thing or a chair, once again.
Oh, man. I mean, yay.
No.
You've been on a roll with these, Scott. You haven't missed one yet.
That's right. So far, so good.
Okay, here it is.
Wait, you need a thing. Here you go.
The discreet sanitary solution for your urgent relief.
There you go. There's your
Whoa.
Thing.
Yonata.
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 Chair or Star Trek?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say chair.
Yonata chair.
I'm going to say chair.
I think it's chair, but I'll go Star Trek just to, you know,
yeah,
be different.
How'd we do?
Oh, Scott, no, it's a Star Trek thing.
No. Damn it. I broke my streak.
Well, it's a planet.
I'm going to hang up on you now. Damn it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. Please sign this White House petition for adoptee rights. Visit, and I don't have any more. It was TMS adoptee rights. That's right. tinyurl.com/TMS adoptee rights.
That's it.
It's a White House petition. Signature deadline is January 17th. So this is your last week.
I was going to go in there and change it, but it won't let me.
Let me make sure that is the right one. Tinyurl. And TMS adoptee rights.
Did that work?
That is not it. It must be a bit.ly. Maybe it's a bit.ly.
Oh, is it a bit.ly?
bit.ly/TMS adoptee rights.
Or is it tiny.cc?
Might be tiny.cc because that's not it either. Tiny.cc. TMS adoptee rights. No, none of those work.
Oh, crap. Someone in the chat room bail us
Aaron
out.
Aaron Beard guy set it up for us yesterday, and I don't think I can go back and view.
Is Harry Beard guy in the chat room?
Hair and beard guy.
Hair and, oh, it's not Harry Beard guy?
He is in the chat room.
Oh, did we screw that up? Okay. Well, he'll tell us. And we'll correct it because we want to fix that up.
Yeah, for sure.
Man has no butt crack. Crack, crack.
Yes, it's true. This man has no butt crack.
This is a huge headline for the day, guys. The page on this post says this. Warning. What follows is NSFW. I don't mean the schwitty jury kind.
Okay, it is tinyurl.com/TMS adoptee rights. I don't know what
you
I was...
You spell adoptee wrong? Oh, adoptee. So.
Yeah,
it works.
That's how I spelled it. Okay, weird. All right.
That's it. So, okay, one more time. tinyurl.com/TMSadopteeRights.com.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Back to no crack.
Back to no crack. No crack man. What's his power? What's no crack man's power?
Unable to slide down a banister. Excelsior.
That's true. It gives you a nice groove there, doesn't it?
That's right. You need that. You need that.
You ever heard that joke? What is
valley.
The? What is a? What is a? Or what's this? Or no? Yeah, this is how it goes. What's this sound? What's that?
I don't know. What is it?
That's a man with a reverse butt crack going down a slide at a park.
Reverse butt crack.
When I was seventh grade, that was the funniest joke I knew. Anyway, you click on this link below and you'd be bringing up an image that some will find rather disturbing. So, ooh. Brian, I want you to click it.
Okay.
This is all visual. We're not going to make people at home do it if they don't want to. It's on the Huffington Post. Just search for no butt crack. And scroll down. Or no, okay. Scroll down. Click on the link. It says click to see man with no butt crack.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Post a picture of his non-butt crack on the internet, that link.
Yeah. Well, no. Below that.
Oh, that's his Reddit page.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Click to see man with no butt crack.
Yeah.
Oh! Wow.
He's got... So, just for visual here, he's got like a little dimple thing.
Right.
Like people can have, right? And then no butt crack after that. I don't know what's happening with this man.
Weird. There's even a couple like pseudo dimples right below that, but...
Yeah. The heck, man?
It's like he's facing forward and his belly button and then like some, you know, belly fat is sitting there on the...
That is, it looks like he's reversed around. You're right. He's hairy too. It's gross. Enjoy. Do what you can. Let's make a tiny URL for that. All right, moving on to more important things. Man believes drinking cow urine will control his diabetes.
Sure.
Have you heard this? Is this the thing you've heard down the...
It improves your memory, too. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, that was coffee.
Yeah. Sir, how do I improve my...
diabetes.
Well, you drink this cow pee here. Like millions of people, apparently, Jerem Singhal has diabetes.
Okay.
I can only say it the way... What's his name?
Diabetes.
I can't say diabetes. It normal. Unlike most of these people, he chooses to treat it in a manner most people would find repulsive. He drinks cow urine.
Yeah, most people would find that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would.
Every person except for Jairam Singhai.
Yeah.
Singhal.
Yeah, and his kids, they're all into it too.
Oh,
every morning for the past 10 years, last decade, Singhal, age 42, aren't they always, has guzzled down a glass of pee harvested fresh from a virgin cow at a cattle shelter near his home in Agra, India. Has to be a virgin cow.
Does he have to guzzle it? Come on now.
Yeah.
That's Huffington Post, like, add a little color to the story.
I think so, too. You could have just said he just drinks a glass of pee.
Yeah.
As
guzzles down a glass of warm pee.
As gross as this self-medication sounds, he swears by cow urine therapy, or as I like to call it, C-U-T, which is short for cut. Anyway. I have diabetes, he says. I'm sorry. I had
diabetes.
There we go. Says he had it.
Yeah.
But ever since I have been drinking cow urine, my diabetes levels have been under control, he says. According to the Mirror, some people told me drinking cow urine is good for health. Someone told me cow urine is good for drinking health, so I tried it. Great.
You know what you should do? Mm-hmm. Here's what you got to do.
Well, if you want to vomit every day, drink a big glass of cow urine. Yeah.
Forget all about your diabetes.
He says, we have had cows for years, over 12 years now. I'll do his voice now.
Uh-huh, sure.
So first thing in the morning, we take cow urine and drink it. How do you take it? Do you...
You have to just sit there and wait under the cow until they...
What if there's a way to stimulate that? Like, Mike Rowe probably did it by accident or something, but there's probably a way to get a cow to pee when you don't want him to, or when he would normally not be. I wonder what that would do, how you'd have to do that. I mean, I watched... Speaking of which, I'm watching this old episode I'd missed somehow of Dirty Job. I'm a fan of that show. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
And there's one where I guess they cut the side out of a cow.
Oh, yeah.
While it's alive, right?
Yeah.
It's a big old gaping...
They did this in...
Is it in a movie?
Fast Food Nation or one of those. One of the... One of the anti-fast food ones showed how they do this, like how they basically have a little window in the side of the cow. And
They reach in there and they'll put, I forgot what the deal was, like the cow wasn't digesting properly. So they would put drugs in there or something, or.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, what if somebody dropped like their ballpoint pen in there or did something stupid? Oh, I lost a contact. Crap.
Right.
I went in the cow's hole. But the cow's just sitting there going.
Just chewing its cud and like, hey, there's a guy's arm in me. Huh.
Yeah, all right. I mean, just think of what that is. That's horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's really horrifying. All right, Brian, here's the question.
Okay, ask away.
If you were desperate enough, let's say you had, I don't know.
Diabetes.
Or some other late stage awful thing, okay? Uh-huh. And I said to you, Brian, I'm your friend, you know, I'm concerned about your health, and I'm here to tell you that you've tried everything else. All the other doctors are saying we don't know how to keep it under control. The drugs aren't working. His diabetes or whatever disease you have is just through the roof. There's just nothing we can do. Modern science cannot handle Brian Ibbett's ailment.
Right.
So I come to you and I say, Brian, I know this is going to sound a little bit weird.
No.
But if you drink a glass of your own pee once a day.
No.
Okay. Then what if I said so
think about this though.
So if your survival was all but destroyed, like you really there were no other options left for you.
Because here's why. Because I wouldn't believe it. Because basically I'd say, all right, if science can't solve this thing and cows and pee have existed long enough for science to say, well, here's a possible thing. Here's some thing that is in cow pee that or human pee or whatever that would completely eradicates and solves this problem. Then science would have figured out what that thing is and put it into regular diabetes medicine. Mm. But the fact that science hasn't said, hey, you know, this magical ingredient in cow pee is great. The fact that they haven't done that makes me say, you know, BS.
Yeah.
This is total crap.
All it would be is
placebo
at best. Yeah, I'm totally with you there. That's exactly the right answer. I hope people learn something from that little exchange. Because that's exactly what you should say. I have a clip here that may be appropriate for this. Let's see.
Oh, really? Are you hungry?
Hungry, thirsty, exhausted.
Oh, he's thirsty. The word thirsty is in the clip. And I thought that had something to do with drinking cow pee.
Well, a little bit, sure.
Anyway, I think that that's gross and that this guy is up in the night. And it's probably, here's the truth. If you're keeping good care of a cow and you're feeding it and watering it properly and all that, the pee is pretty sterile at the time of excretion.
Still pee.
It's no, I'm with you. I'm just saying the reason he's not dead from drinking pee is because he's... You know,
he's not lapping it up off the floor, obviously.
No, he's not. There's a picture of him chucking it down in this.
No, is there really?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. It's not video, but it's him and his...
Kadalarha did, too.
Let's see. Take a picture here. Oh, yeah. Kadalarha was all into that. Yeah, there they are. See him in the middle there, and he's got his son with him or something?
Oh, look at that. And there he is collecting it.
Oh, my gosh. There is video. Hold on. Let's play the video.
That does not look like a good cow, honestly.
Okay, here he is. Ooh.
Worshippers across India have taken their devotion to cows to the extreme by drinking the animal's urine.
Oh,
sounds like Garrett from The Office. Cow
has consumed cattle's pee every day for the last 10 years, believing it can cure a host of ailments.
Best medicine for every disease. It's good for the body, he says. I had diabetes, now I don't.
Drinking cow urine to treat medical ailments is a centuries-old practice in Hindu religion. But the unusual treatment has resurfaced in recent years.
Oh, they're all doing it. They're drinking hot glasses of cow pee.
Right out of the, yeah.
Right out of the spout, as it were.
Right out of the spout.
And the worst part is, those cows are standing around in their own crap.
Right.
This isn't a clean facility.
No, no, no. Yeah, this is not a lab. This is not...
This is all bad.
Yeah, exactly.
This is all bad. I'll tell you what. Let's wash all those thoughts out of our head with some good food. Something you're supposed to eat. Some healthy food with HelloFresh.com. Go check these guys out. We've talked about them a lot on the show.
Follow that one, HelloFresh.
That's a bad transition. Make cooking fun again. Every week.
Make fun of cooking.
That's right. Make fun of cooking, everybody. Every week, their chefs make these great recipes, and you get to pick which ones you like. They'll send you every little piece of ingredient you need fresh to your door. My beef came in a big freezer box. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, actually. And they're really great. 30 minutes or less is all it'll take you to make the thing, and they'll deliver it straight to you. Find out if they do to your area by going to HelloFresh.com, and if they do, get 50% off your first order, your first-time customer order, by using the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's MORNINGSTREAM. When you go check them out at HelloFresh.com.
Please come to Colorado. Hello.
Chairman
yes,
J.
Please.
Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Ooh, big bowls of Greek yogurt smothered in homemade granola.
I had that this morning.
That sounds awesome.
It was really good. My mother-in-law's... It's my favorite thing my mother-in-law does, actually, is make that granola. It's really good. And there's no wheat in it. I'm trying to cut down on the wheat. Doctors are concerned that my big flare-up was partially a gluten thing. So I feel like a damn hippie because everywhere I go, y'all have that pizza crust with no gluten in it? Because I can't eat gluten. we're still trying to narrow it down and figure out what my problem is. But that is really good. Her stuff's good. It's all oat-based. It's yummy.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
And that yogurt's like the best Greek yogurt. I think she just gets it at Walmart, but man, it's good.
I like the Faye, or that looks like it's spelled Phage, F-A-G-E.
That might be what it is.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
That might be it. And we go through a bucket of that in like a day if my kids get all of it.
Wow.
Back to the real world here. Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
The Biebs. I got tempted to watch Spring Breakers
with his
girlfriend in it.
Right. Selena Gomez. It's supposed to be really good. Who's the 127
James,
hours?
James Franco.
Franco.
Yeah,
yes.
He's supposed to be amazing in it. I ended up not doing it yet, but boy, that movie, I'm tempted now not to because that movie sure is reviled by critic and fan alike. People really, really hate that movie. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That may be the most hated movie of that year, but I still hear, despite all that, Franco's really amazing in it. So maybe I'll still
check
catch
Rotten Tomatoes on that one because...
Yeah, what do the Rotten Tomatoes say?
What do the Rotten Tomatoes say?
Let's see.
Spring Breakers. It is. It gets a 65%.
That's not too bad.
That's not bad. No.
IMDb is about a 5. That's all. You know, maybe it's a split thing, but
yeah.
I don't know, and I don't know. A lot of people have just said, "Dude, it's terrible. Don't watch it." And I'm like, well, I kind of want to. I like whenever I hear somebody does some amazing acting thing. I always like to kind of check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Franco generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's a freak, not a geek. Justin Bieber. Speaking of Selena Gomez's pimp daddy.
Right.
Could be charged with a felony for egging his neighbor's house.
Jeez.
He's always up to no good. I feel like he's just he's grasping onto childhood things as much as he can. Like immature sort of things that you and I got out of our system in eighth grade. Because he never got to have that. I really feel that way about a lot of these guys.
I mean, it still seems odd, but...
I feel like it's just that... I don't know. You could put him in a room and let everyone test him, and you could probably learn a lot about the way a child star's life is compared to a regular child's life and why they kind of end up going weird directions. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to be gained by trying to figure that out. But anyway, the confident singer is in a heap of trouble for allegedly egging his neighbor's home in January 2004, this month. TMZ posted a video that appears to have been taken by the neighbor. In the clip, he yells at Bieber and accuses him of egging his house. The pop star shouts, "F you! I got another one for you, actually!" Bieber's neighbor has... I don't know why that's so funny.
It is funny. I got another one for you, actually.
Actually? Bieber's neighbor has obtained repair estimates, and apparently the broken eggs have caused about $20,000 worth of damage to his home.
Whoa.
It wouldn't surprise me given the homes that are there. In California, vandalism that results in over $400 worth of damage is considered a felony. If Bieber is charged, the situation will quickly turn into something more serious than a sophomoric prank. He could literally do jail time.
How does it do $20,000 worth of damage?
If you... Okay. When I was, again, eighth grade, I threw eggs at a house, and they had to replace all the windows because it wouldn't come off. It baked on there.
Mm.
And I don't know. Here's,
and that's what they're saying. Yeah, the entire... facade must be replastered, which is set to cost about $15,000, and then several doors for another $5,000. Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. You can do real damage to a car as well if you egg a car. It's real bad on paint.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, and again, I learned all this when I was 14. Justin's learning it when he's 20. So I guess that's how it works.
Well, it's what they used for frescoes is egg, because it stays on. It lasts...
Yeah,
nearly forever.
By the way, that quote, F you, I got another one actually for you, actually.
Yeah.
I say that whenever I'm down to one or two nuggets at McDonald's. I have like one nugget left. My wife will go, who ate all the nuggets? F you, I got another one for you, actually. Anyway, we'll follow the story and see if he ends up doing, you know.
Yeah, paying for it.
Yeah, right. I would love it if he paid for it.
I would, too.
Not only that, I think he should pay for it. Like, let's have him have to pay a fine. Man.
Yeah.
Let's see him in some orange jumpsuit out on the highway picking up paper.
Love that.
Teach that kid some freaking something. Teach him something. Yes. Marvel.
Okay.
You know, the superheroes, the tights and the capes and the whatnot.
Comic book people.
They have recruited Michael Douglas for Ant-Man.
Really?
I think this is a bad idea. I like the Paul Rudd call. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, so... But that's the thing that's confusing is Paul Rudd not playing?
Well, here's how it goes. So this will explain more. Fresh off Golden Globes win, Michael Douglas is joining the superheroes of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios announced Monday that Douglas has been cast as Hank Pym and will join star Paul Rudd in the movie Ant-Man, directed by Edgar Wright at World's End and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. He's slated for release July 31st, 2015, with Hank Pym's rich history in the Marvel Universe. We knew we needed an actor capable of bringing the weight and stature to the role that the character deserves. Marvel Studios President Kevin Feige said in a statement, "We felt incredibly relieved when Michael Douglas agreed to step into the part with the charm and fortitude that he brings to every character he inhabits, and couldn't be more excited to see what he will do with Hank Pym to bring him to life." Now, he will join Paul Rudd.
Right.
That means Paul Rudd is not Hank Pym.
Yeah, which so obviously it means that Michael Douglas is not going to be Ant-Man. So basically, it's going to be Hank Pym creating the suit and creating the technology with one of the later characters that played Ant-Man.
I completely agree with your summation. I think that's the. I know.
Scott Lang. Yeah, that's it. Probably
they could have done. I don't think this is a good move, but you know, whatever. If they did this in the comic book, I don't mean the, you know, Michael Douglas, but if they do these weird kind of different versions of origin stories or how things get passed down,
sure,
we're much cooler with it. I just feel like the movies kind of owe it to us to do the thing that is the most that one that sticks to the most to the core of the comic, and I don't feel like this does.
Mm.
So Marvel hasn't let me down yet, so we'll see.
No, and exactly, and they've had some, you know, the casting of. What's his face as oh my god, I can't think of his name. Harry Osborn.
Drink some coffee quick and tell me. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, who's the guy?
James Franco's dad in the first Spider-Man movie.
A guy who's got on the ground in a platoon with his hands raised in the air.
Exactly, yes.
He cuts off his wiener in that Antichrist movie, which I really wish I had never seen.
The Passion of the Christ?
No, it was a different movie. What's his name? Willem Dafoe. Jeez.
Willem Dafoe, thank you. I mean, he's, you know, he would have been somebody that people would have said, well, that's an interesting choice, but...
Mm-hmm. But we'll see, you know?
But they did well with that one, so...
So we'll see. Maybe he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't... But you already know. I've said on the show, I've made it very clear, I'm not a fan of Michael Douglas, period.
Well, he's kind of a jackass, and I think he said some misogynistic things
the other
before.
Day.
He's been in the... every day. Like, he's been in the news a lot, like Sean Connery, been in the news a lot for saying things that are maybe a little off-putting for women.
Yeah, plus I just don't like his affectations and the way he acts. Like, I don't like movies with him in it. And I don't know why. Other than, I mean, I didn't even like Romancing the Stone. He just, something about him bugs me.
Didn't you like that movie with him and Demi Moore and all the technology with the 3D virtual world? And
what was that?
Sexual harassment case.
Right. Him and Demi Moore. And they had the computers that just were ridiculous. What was that called?
Dactyl Nightmare. What was that called?
I don't remember.
Not Gravity, but it was a single word like that. Like,
it's like late 90s or mid 90s, early 90s,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Anyway. Disclosure. Yes. Disclosure. Thank you, Arnie Man. Right.
Yeah, those computers pissed me off then. They made me more now. More mad now. Like War of the Roses, hated it. I don't like any of those. I don't like him in a movie. So, you know, I haven't seen Beyond the Candelabra or whatever, where him and Jason Bourne are making out. Yeah,
right. I want to see that though. I mean, after all the accolades it received at the Golden Globes, I think it's now worth seeing.
Yeah, I heard it was good. The director Soderbergh did it, right? Yeah,
right. Yes,
yeah, Steven Soderbergh tried to make it a theater movie, and nobody would give him the money. So he said, "All right, what do you say, HBO?"
For HBO.
HBO said, "Look."
Could you put some boobs in it?
Yeah, could you put some breasts and some rhythmic thrusting in your film? Okay, you're in.
Oh, how about The Game? So actually, Liquorhead brings up a good one. I did like Michael Douglas in The Game.
I like The Game more than I like Michael Douglas in The Game. I don't like him in it. I don't know. Okay. I think there's certain people that just rub you wrong, you know? There's something about the way they talk and move and act. Oh,
yeah,
and
John Voight, for example.
Yeah, with you, it's John Voight. I get excited when I see John Voight. But that, you know, that just goes to show different strokes, right?
Right. To move the world.
How's that go? Different strokes to move the world? To move the world?
Yeah. Yeah. Different strokes.
You got different strokes to something the world.
Yeah, I think it is. To move the world. What is it? Yeah.
Okay.
Just the horrible, horrible recall episode. More coffee. More coffee.
More coffee. Pour it down my throat. All right. That's it for that. Let's move on. Before we do, Fantasy Coin Prefundia is up and going. After 1.5 years, Fantasy Coin is finally launching the largest coin Kickstarter project to date, although it's not on Kickstarter, it's on Prefundia.
Well, Prefundia is what you do before you go to Kickstarter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's like how you kind of build the buzz as you're getting ready for your Kickstarter. Say, it's coming, get on the list and get emailed so that you can take advantage of early adopter kind of stuff.
No, so this is new to me. Well, not one, not two, but 13 sets of three types. That's 39 coins with 78 unique pieces of art. And we're talking like elements and dragons and elves and steampunk and sci-fi, all the stuff you want to have when you're at a tabletop gaming convention. You know, whip out the best pieces you've got, and damn it, you're going to win that game. Bring your fantasy to life. Go check them out now at bit.ly. That's bit.ly/precoin. Go today. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got the Fitness Geek. We got Jury Duty. And we've got more. Before all of that, though, a song.
Oh, you know, we never even talked about what order we're doing these in. Let me see if there's a logical...
Oh, yeah, we didn't. We usually do, but we didn't.
We'll do the shorter one first.
All righty. It's not much shorter, but that'll work. Okay,
no, about 30 seconds or whatever. Yeah. All right, this one going out to Paul B., Sergeant Detritus when he gets in the tadpool, or Detritus. Mm. Hello, String and Bean. I was hoping you could play a song for the light of my life, Noel, for her birthday on the 12th of January. I guess around that would be free since that's a Sunday. She's put up with me for all these years, and I'm amazed every time I see her and think about how I'm the luckiest geek in the world. Anyway, I'd like you to play Melt With You by Bowling for Soup from the Sky High soundtrack. Love the show, though, or LTST. Paul B., Sergeant Detritus when he can get in the tadpool.
Mm, lovely.
Very cool, yes. great song with one little tiny... You know, those little niggling things that just kind of bother you. One of those little tiny needling, you know, stabs. And I guess it's because this was released as a kid's movie. They actually asked Bowling for Soup to change the lyric. Making love to you was never second best to being friends with you was never second best.
Okay.
And I've always hated that change. It always bothered
rubbed
me.
Rubbed you wrong.
Everything else about the song I love, but come on. I mean... Yeah. Can we not say that phrase, please?
Yes.
Anyway, judge for yourself. See what you think. This is still a really good song. And Bowling for Soup does a great job of of reinterpreting it. They also released this on their 2005 tribute called Bowling for Soup Goes to the Movies with a bunch of songs that they did for soundtracks, a lot of covers on that. I Melt With You, originally by Modern English, right here by Bowling for Soup.
Here it is. Still one of the best band names ever, by the way. Bowling for Soup.
Yes, Bowling, Bowling with Which Blade for Soup.
We melt with you too, people, so stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Moving forward, using all my breath. Being friends with you was never second best. And I saw the world crashing all around your face. Never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Did what a doge does.
And what about the doge?
I
have the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I like that Doge guy.
What did the Doge do?
The Doge did what a Doge does.
And what about the Doge?
What about the Doge?
Much Doge. Yeah. Such Doge.
We're back, everybody. Welcome back. And that was great. And by the way, that Irony Man GIF is perfect for that for that song. Just play it and watch it.
Right, just over and over and over. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Really well done. Nice job, guys. Man, he's fast. Just whip that out.
I know.
I don't know how he does it.
I know.
So it's time for us to pretend to call Chinbeard. No, we're going to really do it. There's no pretending.
Not going to pretend to?
Nope. We're going to actually do it.
Okay.
We're going to actually call him and actually talk about fitness today.
All right.
One can only assume
okay.
that fitness is on the agenda.
Sure.
Because you never know.
We'll talk fitness.
Tuesdays are crazy.
We'll talk space guns.
I thought I had a theme. I guess I don't. So here's this. Hello, Bill Duran. Good morning.
Hey, you know, I do love the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's great.
I use a lot of polyurethane.
You're the guy I worry about when, let's say 10 years from now, we're going to find out that all that stuff you've been breathing has, you know, created a small, like, total recall guy in your guts or something.
We're going to find out that it gave him superpowers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We'll find out alternately that it's good for you, and then it's bad for you, and then it's good for you again.
I'm hoping that I grow a third arm. That would be awesome.
Where do you want the third arm? Let's talk about that. Where do you want to locate it?
I could use a second right arm since I'm right-handed. Mm. So just right underneath the other one.
You don't want to right in the middle.
No, something that would be easy, like open, you know, to cut holes in your shirt. You don't want to have to stick holes in the front of your shirt for another.
No.
I kind of want one that'll be in the center of my back and it can just reach and grab pillows and tuck them for me and things like that.
Yeah, but then how are you going to lay on your back?
Your
arm's going to fall asleep anytime you lay on your back.
That's true. I didn't think about that. You can't have your big elbowy dumb arm right behind your neck. That's a good point.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like what they do on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, he had it right in the kind of center, didn't he? Or is that his second head?
Well, he had his second head on his shoulders right next to his head. And he had his other arm was,
because he could
on the right side.
Because he could whip it up. Remember? He could pull it. The second head, he could pull up and out. I don't remember how it worked. Damn it.
Answering the tough questions here.
That's what we do. TMS Tuesday is all about the hard questions. So, Bill.
Yeah, I'm looking up Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Please look that
Google
up.
Google image search.
Please do that.
You guys want to hear something crazy?
Yes, only crazy stuff here today, please.
Yeah. So I do, despite what it may sound like, I do keep notes of the fitness geek.
Mm.
I don't come up with this on the top of my head. And my notes say that this is the 100th fitness geek segment.
What?
Wow.
I was unaware of this.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. What gave you the forethought to write down the episodes and stuff? That's kind of cool.
Usually I'll just come up with whatever I'm going to talk about the night before, and I just throw it in a Google Doc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and then I hit enter, and the next line says the next number. So
oh, so you're doing this in a spreadsheet?
Well, no, just a
oh, but it numbers the lines.
Document.
Got it.
Yeah.
So each line represents a topic, and therefore you have 100 topics, and therefore you've had 100 appearances on the show.
Yeah,
amazing. Does that count you and Jury doing that weird pirate thing you did?
No, I didn't talk any fitness on that one. So.
Okay, it was all. It was all about bad health and terrible ideas.
And also news stories from Florida. That was my goal.
Mm, that's good.
Of which there is always an abundance.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to be short.
No.
On that, I've found. Just follow that guy on Twitter and you got all you ever need.
So tell me, my original goal with this segment, I scrolled all the way up to the top of the I need to find a better way to do this, too, because it takes forever to scroll all the way up. But my original goal was to give listeners an insight into a productive and healthy lifestyle that I have come to know and enjoy.
Mm.
You guys think that we have done that?
Oh, man, that's interesting. Look at you with goals and stuff and thinking.
I think we have. I think there's been, you know, a lot of things that everybody's kind of adopted that you've suggested, whether it's, you know, different snacks to eat while you're raiding or exercise you can do at your desk. things like that. I mean, the Lose It group, I want to say that the Lose It group probably happened because of you.
Yeah, I think that was all inspired by this. We get constant tweets and emails saying, Bill Duran inspired me to start working out and lose weight. Yeah. I lost 45 pounds. Now, I'm not saying that you're doing, but it certainly didn't hurt.
I'll take some of the credit.
You can take a lot of the credit. You really can. So I think there's been plenty of inspiration going around about this segment, sure.
So would you say that you guys have made fitness a priority in your lives?
I have.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like I've...
It's a priority. I'm not very good at it, but it's a priority.
I wanted to pepper my statement with the same kind of sentiment. I feel like I've gotten a lot better at many things. But, you know, part of my motivation has always been sort of, I want to be around when my kids have kids. Like, I want to, you know, like, for some reason, that's just burns bright in the forefront of my mind. And so that's been a big motivator for me, but I'm still not great at it. There's still times where that bag of Doritos has no chance, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like last night.
Oh, no. Well, there's always, really?
Yeah.
There's always a tipping point, though, where, where the guilt the next day, right?
Yeah.
After you've done that, where the guilt from doing that inspires you to go back on another stretch of healthiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where the other side where you could tip over the other way is when the guilt sends you into a spiral and you just have you don't care anymore. You're like, fine, I'm just gonna do Doritos again tonight.
I have a paradoxical effect going on in my life, which is kind of interesting and maybe a topic of its own, but I'll at least mention it here. And that is that when I feel really good, that's my worst moment. That's when I'm the most vulnerable, because when I feel good, I eat crap. And when I feel bad, I go, I really got to get this going. I got to get back on the treadmill. I got to do this or whatever. And
and
sometimes it's just a meal or it's just a day where like, man, I sure feel good today. Now I'm eating all the crap I can because I feel like I'm 15 and I can eat all the crap I want, which I can't because later I pay for it. But it's an odd thing for me because my motivation is never, it's never like, oh, I'm feeling good. That means this is working. I'm going to keep this up. No, yeah. I go, oh, I'm feeling good. I'm going to eat that whole bag of Doritos.
Yeah. Well, at least and again, like I was saying, the next day when you're paying for it and you feel guilty for it, you're like, nope, well, that was fun, but let's get back on the wagon, so to speak.
Yeah. No, it's weird. But anyway.
So yeah, I've gotten tons and tons of tweets from people in the Tadpool. The Lose It group, which I need to be more active in, but there's 558 members in it.
Mm.
Like, are you kidding? That's crazy.
Yeah,
like, these are all people who have made fitness a priority in their lives, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Even if they're just some are just dabbling, it's a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step?
Yeah, and I would walk 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And I would walk 1,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And if you're walking 1,000 steps, actually that's not very many steps. Walk 10,000 a day. Then you're really good.
Then your Nike Fuel Band fills up and you get the little animation.
That's right. The little frog dances when you sync it or whatever happens. Where does that happen? Oh, yeah, on the web, right? No, your phone.
Yeah. The phone app.
I haven't done that in a while. Mine broke, so I don't know.
So earlier today you mentioned the gluten-free thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about that.
That sounds good. Having just eaten gluten-free pizza crust, I'm curious about your take on gluten. Yeah.
So, first of all, most of my information about this comes from an episode of Skeptoid, the Skeptoid podcast, skeptoid.com/episode/4239, if you want to go check that. So if I get anything wrong, go listen to Brian Dunning. He's got his facts straight. But right now it's a fad. Right, you can't go anywhere in any store where they sell food without seeing something that says this one's gluten-free, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is that it is a real concern for some people, but it's a pretty low percentage of our population. There are a handful of allergies and diseases that make people have a bad reaction to gluten, but it's only probably about 10% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And gluten doesn't cause the sensitivity, right so you shouldn't.
Oh yeah, no, there's no preemptive. It's like saying, ooh, I really don't want a peanut allergy, I'm not gonna eat any peanuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't go out of your way to avoid gluten because you're gonna catch something. That's not the case,
right?
But you can't avoid it, right? You see it everywhere because for some reason people are thinking, I have to buy that. I have to get the gluten-free Domino's pizza because it says it is. Mm-hmm. Kind of the way low carb was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know that beef jerky is gluten-free. I don't need to be told that because it's beef.
Yeah.
Also, guess what? Beef jerky, it's also low carb, right?
Yeah.
But they still say that on the packaging because...
Oh, yeah, that drives me crazy.
They sell more.
These are free. Remember the free range thing? That was another deal like that. It's like free range. What that actually meant was our chickens had an extra inch and a half to move in any one direction while they were alive. Yeah.
I was waiting to see like free range potato chips and stuff. Mm. I was waiting for someone to go that step.
Yeah.
Just to see if it would increase their sales.
That was a bridge too far. So luckily nobody thought we were that stupid, but we weren't. We probably are that stupid, to be honest.
My computer mouse was free range.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I feel a lot better about buying a free range computer mouse.
Sure.
It was made by flowers and unicorns and
yep.
Exactly. So the deal I'm in the middle of right now would be this thing that Corinne, one of the lords of Nerdtacular, told me to try because she has a soy allergy she was unaware of.
Mm. Oh, right. Really?
And she had to find out through what she called an elimination diet. And it's kind
you
of just
one thing, right?
Yeah, it's an experiment. It's like, all right, I'm going to eat this thing because I know I had the problem after I ate that meal. So let's take the contents of that meal and if nothing happens, well, then it was just bad luck and, you know, maybe a virus or something else that caused me a problem. But if not, let me just try. All right, let me try the beans. How was that? I was fine. Okay, well, let me try the steak. Well, that was fine. Let me try these soybeans. Oops. That screws me up bad. So I guess it's soy, and you can kind of, you know, you can work with a nutritionist or a doctor or somebody to figure that out. But elimination diet is a nice sort of scientific, methodical way to figure out what the hell is bugging you in the food you eat. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Work with a dietitian, not a nutritionist.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. That's the word I meant. I have a neighbor who's a dietitian, or I used to before we moved.
Good.
And she was amazing with like ideas and recipes and. She got a house full of kids. She has five kids, all boys. No, I'm sorry. Three boys, two girls. And they're all the fittest human beings I've ever been around in my life.
Awesome.
It's disgusting. And they don't do anything special. They're not like going to the gym every day and lifting 5,000 pounds of weights or anything crazy. They're just eating based on her, you know, training and knowledge. And she's killing it. But it's a good point to make that distinction. It's like astrology and astronomy. You got to make sure which one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pretty big difference. Yeah. One of them you need a degree in. the last thing about gluten-free stuff that is a concern if you're trying to be fit is that just because something is gluten-free doesn't mean that it's healthier for you. For example, your gluten-free pizza crust has plenty of carbohydrates in it, right?
Yeah.
It's got the same amount of carbohydrates as normal pizza crust. So if you eat it thinking you're getting less calories somehow or less carbohydrates, then and you polish off the whole pizza and you're like, you know what? Don't even worry about it. That was gluten-free. Then when you're trying to pass an entire pizza the next day, you're going to be kind of paying for it.
Right. Yeah. It's not good. Either way, don't eat a whole pizza. Yeah. I don't care if it's made out of gluten or not.
No.
It's a bad idea. I have to just say, though, in Domino's credit, to their credit, that gluten-free pizza. We got two kinds. We wanted to try both. And I had both, and I didn't have any problem. I actually don't think the gluten's a problem for me. And sometimes people are more sensitive or not, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Either way, I ate both kinds, and the gluten one was not bad. Like, it's not great. It's not as good as the other stuff. And I'm a big Domino's fan generally for their thin crust stuff. But it was okay. It's not going to kill you. They do charge you more, though.
Of course they do.
Because that's another thing like you're talking about. This when you get a fad like this, everybody puts a premium on it. And you're going to pay more, which is ridiculous. And they only had it in a small, so you had to pay it for a small. But the price of that small gluten-free pizza was, I want to say, at least equal to or maybe even more than a medium or large with the same topping. So it was kind of ridiculous.
You should yell at them and be like, I have a medical condition. Yeah. You're price gouging me.
That's right. And they left off the pepperoni, which really pissed me off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they sent us a $10 coupon. And
that's good. Yeah, you know, because pepperoni is gluten-free, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the, I got on the phone and said, what's the, why does it matter if you have this automated web version of the freaking pizza maker if you guys can't remember the topping I chose?
Yeah, exactly. I can see what the pizza's going to look like. Does it not give you right. that picture to compare the final result?
Exactly. You have this composite photo of a pizza with big rings of pepperoni on it. It's impossible for you to not see those. Anyway.
Right.
That's good stuff.
So what I'm wondering is what's going to be the next food fad that's based on a medical condition or allergy, right?
Ooh, let's predict.
So I want to wait and see until the next thing, like when I think beef jerky is going to be my analog here.
Okay.
I want to see when peanut allergies get put on stuff. So a bag of beef jerky, and on the front it says peanut free.
Yeah, peanut oil free, it'll say.
Yeah, no peanut oil was used in the manufacture of dehydrating this beef.
All I'm seeing for peanut allergies, and I had a neighbor kid named Jared who, when he was younger anyway, had we fed him a peanut in a something Kim made, some baked good.
It wasn't marinara sauce, was it?
No. It was not that.
That's a long nice callback for those long-time listeners.
Wow. Callback for sure. But he ate this thing, and he immediately puffed up and passed out and had to be rushed to a hospital. And I remember at the time thinking, a peanut can freaking do that? Yeah. Saw the kid recently. Mm-hmm. No problem. He's over it. Don't know how he got over it, but he's over it.
You know that every cell in your body in about 7 years becomes a new cell, right?
Yeah.
So in 7 years, your whole body is a different body than you had.
Right.
Yeah, basically. And you can kick an allergy that just naturally, just like that. You have a whole new
just
set
have
of cells.
It go away. That's interesting.
Yeah. A friend of mine had a reaction to, I want to say cashews.
Mm.
And this was long, long, like 10 years ago. He had a cashew and he went bonkers. And he's like, 7 years, I'm trying him again.
Oh, so he's doing the 7 year check? He's like that Up That's documentary hilarious. Series where they check on people every 7 years. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then he's like, in 7 years, I'm going to try one. And once cashews are back on the table, I'm going to be the cashew-eating fool.
Every console refresh, he tries out a new cashew. That's awesome.
2.0.
I love that idea. Shoot, I've got 3.0. Diarrhea all night. Well, see you in another 7 years. That's interesting. Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, you know this is coming. Like, your prediction is a true one. There will be some new. There's always something, right?
Yeah.
Right. And it's just coming. Like, everybody's been trying to tell me, hey, now that you've got all this, you've taken all these antibiotics and you've gotten rid of this infection, what you ought to do is jump right into the paleo diet and just eat nothing but meat and leaves. And I feel like that one's heading toward the Atkins diet of today.
Right.
And I feel like something weird's going to happen. Like, the founder's going to have 6 heart attacks in rapid succession or something weird like that. And then everyone will think that's crazy. Like, didn't the Atkins die? Harry Atkins or whatever his name was, tripped and fell and hit his head on cement and died.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But do you remember that wasn't the story, though? Every day for weeks, I feel like, the internet and everything was plugged with these notions that he died of a heart attack, that it's because of all the meat he eats, because of all this stuff. And it's funny how, like, the dietary world, the business and the politics of it is really horrible. It's cutthroat and terrible, and everyone's got their ideas, and most of them are probably wrong, and there's never just some, like, quiet scientist raising his hand going, well, if you just sort of eat moderately, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, makes me wonder how long the diet fad business has been this crazy. Is this a new thing, or like 150 years ago where people, you know, because that back then people died because they had a rotten tooth and they got bacteria and died, you know, and not like, were they concerned about, like, they didn't even have a good idea of germ theory. Were they concerned about carbohydrates? I don't know.
I'm going to say the 60s through now, I think that's your era.
Yeah, that could be.
Cause I think before that, you know,
so, Before that, there were people who were living to be old and healthy. You know, we figured a lot of this stuff out a long time. Basically, we figured it out before there were food fads, but food fads people realized you could make money on, and that's what happened.
It's all hokum. Like yesterday, I said to people on Twitter, I go, my problem with, like, not tantric, that's a sexy thing that Sting does. What's it called? Whatever it is. Transcendental meditation, TM. Okay. I said, man, it'd sure be nice if there were some decent resources around. The problem I have with meditation, I had said on Twitter, is that all the good, all the stuff that is supposedly secret, you know, like the secret to really nailing it, is behind some paywall, which for me is an immediate ding. Wait a minute. You're full of crap.
Yeah.
Like you, you may have some cool ideas, but putting it all behind paywalls, you're like, man, something's a little bit weird. You wouldn't believe the people that came out of the woodwork going either in major support of me, like saying, man, this what a snake salesman sort of racket the meditation world has become, or people staunchly supporting something they threw money at.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. Once someone's paid money on something, they're like, oh, no, it worked. It worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
They may as well own a PS4 and their friend owns an Xbox. They're just as mad because they invest in whatever they invested in, and now they're going to defend that choice till their dying breath. But it's funny because it's not, you know, meditation and that kind of stuff is certainly not immune to this whole, and I feel like the diet thing is just emblematic of this problem.
Mm-hmm. See, what I don't want to end up happening is paying $10 a month to get to some diet website, and when I get, you know, when I crack open the door of that thing, there's just a sign that says eat less and work out more, idiot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, or so many words that mean the same thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happens. You don't know because it won't tell you until you pay.
Yep.
So it's just a freaking racket. So it's, I like it. It's like a site like Lose It has a pay version, it has a pay option, and that pay option gives you a bunch of statistics and interesting parts of the site you couldn't get to normally. But those are hard, factual, tangible benefits that I also am well aware of before I pay for them.
Right.
That I can deal with when it comes to fitness. But when it's like, we've got the secret diet, and
this one
send
thing,
us money, we'll let you in and you can learn the
weird
secret.
Thing
yeah. It's like,
do.
Really? Some yeah. You got some old guy who grew up on a mountain who has all the answers. F off.
Dumb.
Yeah, real dumb. Anyway,
yeah,
I like it. It was a good discussion.
You guys have your fitness geek.
That's right, damn it. 100 episodes more will be fun, Bill. Looking
right.
forward to those.
Interested to see where this goes, where this takes us.
So I noticed you have a new FAQ, by the way, up on
Punished
Props and some other stuff. What else is going on real quick before we let you go?
Well, everything, I've been updating my website, punishedprops.com. I took all of the blueprints I made. I draw blueprints for everything I make, and I sell them on my website. They're cheap. They're like $5-$10 each. I took all of them that I made ever, 15 of them, bundled them up into one package, and I'm selling them for $20.
That's a hell of a deal.
It really is. Going forward, I think I'm going to be handling how I do blueprints differently. So I'm going to take the old guard, my legacy content, and I bundled it up. And if you want to get them, grab them now. They'll be available till the end of January. And also, if you're like, hey, Bill's a nice guy, I think it'd be a great way to support him, then go buy some blueprints.
Yeah, support Bill. Punishedprops.com.
Yeah. Then finally, I do, so most of the stuff I build is on commission.
Yeah.
So people ask me to make something, we come up with a price, I build it for them. My commissions have been closed since April because I just can't handle the volume mm-hmm. of requests coming in. Well, I'm opening them up again. The floodgates are kind of come open, but I'm only going to open them for like a couple of weeks to fill out my schedule for 2014. That's just how it works because it'll fill up in a week.
Which is great. That's what you want.
Yes, fine by me. But if there is something that anyone listening to my voice would like me to make, follow me on Facebook.com/punishedprops or Twitter.com/chinbeard, and you'll see. When I open my commissions, you'll hear about it. You'll be sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
To get your commission requests in, and then it'll take me a long time to get back to you because there'll be a lot of them. But hopefully, people will be able to jump in and get on my schedule for 2014.
Brilliant. Also follow him on Twitter because there's stuff going on there as well.
All the time. Mostly my cat recently. But he just keeps doing that thing where he sits like he's a human. So
if you don't believe it, you can watch some vines that prove it. There's video. Video
That's right.
proof. Bill Duran, everybody. Thanks, man. And be healthy or something.
Got it.
Bye now. Bill. All right. That went well.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bill. He's good people. Justin Robert Young, the man with three names, will be joining us shortly.
Okay.
When he does, you're going to
be... I can't
wait
to talk to him about the thing last night, the Andrew Main. Don't trust Andrew Main.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to come up.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I really want to.
These are their stories. Oh, I'm terrible with names.
I'm not terrible with this man's name because it's easy to remember. It's Justin Robert Young, everyone.
Hello, friends.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Are you home? Are you in Oakland?
I am.
That's fantastic. You seem to be traveling slightly less at the beginning of the year. Is it just the normal kind of period where that happens or what?
No. Actually, I leave again tomorrow for Alpharetta, Georgia.
Mm.
And then after that, it's Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then in early February, I just got word I'll be going to the ABQ, bitch.
Oh, what's the ABQ? Albuquerque. as soon as I said it, it was almost like Aaron Paul slapped me. And I went, wait a minute, I did miss the reference. That's great. Albuquerque, dude, you going to try to get a picture of the house?
I want to go. Yeah, I want to do the little the Breaking Bad tour since it's in real locations. Yeah. So definitely want to do it.
And that lady still lives there. There was some big article we had on this show about how she won't sell, even though she could get a ton crap of money for it just right now, like while things are hot. And she's like, no, we really enjoy it here. We were happy to let him use it, but we're just going to stay.
Do they just get a constant stream of people driving by, though? I would assume that they do.
Probably.
Yeah.
They're all in their Aztecs.
That's one that I would feel bad about visiting. Yeah. Like all the other stuff, is like public or
Sure. Pollos Hermanos and the.
Yeah. Like that's like it's like a Hardee's or something like that.
Right.
Are you going to rent an Aztec? Please tell me you're going to try to rent an Aztec.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be good?
A really bad green Aztec would be fantastic. Justin Robert Young on the program. Always fun to have you on. Tuesdays wouldn't be the same without it. And here you are a day after, well, not 12 hours later from the Andrew Don't Trust Andrew Main premiere on A&E. And I'm super stoked to download it. Mm. Friend of the program, friend of everyone's here, especially of Justin's. Andrew Main, incredibly talented dude. And I hear it was awesome. Like, I'm not hearing any bad things about this new reality show.
Well, the good news is, Scott, you can see it for yourself because we've just gotten word the first episode is free on iTunes.
Oh, I'm all in then.
There you go.
So so everybody can go ahead and download it right now.
I was just going to go pay for it, but I'll take it for free. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there's two episodes aired last night, so you can pay for the second one if you feel.
Yeah, I'll do that. I just since I'm an unplugger, my options this morning. Actually, I wonder if their app is showing the first episode. It might be. I'm not sure. But the A&E app is usually pretty good about these premieres.
Okay.
On the iPad, so I may check it there. But yeah, for anybody trying to get a hold of it, A&E apps, their website, and sounds like iTunes and probably some other sources are all going to have it. And it's pretty exciting. Like the bits I saw, I've only seen clips so far, but seems like legit. Like that's a big deal.
I mean, it's hard for me. I mean, for anybody listening to me, like I wouldn't doubt it if people were like, "Well, obviously you'd like it because he's like your best friend."
Yeah, you guys are biased.
But I think it's great. I mean, me and Brian were joking last night. We were doing a live stream while the show was going on and trying to drum up support and you know, let everybody know about it. So we were joking as the show was going on, like what this live stream would be like if sorry, there's a bird flying all over the place.
It's all right. We like it. We refer to it as the jury aviary, and we'd like to donate our funds to it.
That's the thing. If I'm going to be in Oakland, then I might have a better mic, but I will certainly be fluttered around at constant intervals. But no, I mean, like, we were joking that like what the live stream would be like if we – I mean, we'd love Andrew no matter what, and we'd be excited he's on television, but what if the show sucked?
Yeah.
And it would be like, man, this is really well lit.
Yeah. I really like that time you said this thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Like, I think CJ Johnson, one of Brian's friends, said, like, you know, no matter what, he'll always be able to say that he was on A&E.
Yeah. Yeah, one way or the other. But the results have been better than that. Like, it's way more than just his biased friend saying good things. I'm hearing good things all over.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, the New York Times gave it a good review. So there's, I don't know. It's very, very good. My one pitch would be, it is... Like when you watch it, you will kind of think like, wow, why hasn't there been a magic show that is just kind of fun before this, you know?
Not like, just all mysterious, like some demon came out of a hole and is now tricking people on the streets of Vegas kind of thing, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, most of the other beats, if you look at it, like, it's for magic shows and done extremely well, like, you know, to the point of high art, you know? It's just people who are like, well, like... This is not possible, and yet it is.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the stuff he was doing last night was just amazing. And he comes across with way more of a sense of humor and kind of a friendly.
He's like a dude you'd know, like a guy.
Right.
You'd
as
know.
Opposed to like a Chris Angel or who's the other guy who.
David Blaine.
David Blaine. Exactly. Yeah. Andrew's great. And he's got a really good personality.
Yeah.
For this,
even though I haven't seen it, I like this idea that it's a guy I can relate to instead of a guy who I have to think of as someone who is either crazy or truly mystical or has
douchey.
Some power or douchey. Right. I would rather see a guy who's like.
Honest, my douche powers.
That's right.
I mean, instead, he's a guy in a jacket with a decent haircut in a mall talking to another dude about his phone and where it went. In a way that there's a real comfort in that. That it's just a guy. I don't want to deal with freaky, like, you know, just all that business. I just want to know who I'm talking to. And I feel like Andrew's kind of that guy. Again, that's I'm a little funny. Biased because I've talked to him before and I get it. But, you know.
Well, but like the thing is, me and Andrew talked a lot about, like, you know, the true measure of good magic is what do you have other than your right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because every magician is right. It's like, I'm going to draw this picture, and then you're going to turn around your picture. Guess what? I was right, you know? Like, that's, like, everything beyond that is, to me, what separates it. Because you can buy right on the internet, you know? Like, you can get right sent to your house in you know, overnight shipping and then learn it, and then congratulations, you will be correct in your assumption. However, like, for example, I think one of the kind of signature things that happened last night, I think it was in the first episode, she takes the guy's wallet and he asks him if he's a rule breaker, you know, and you get a bunch of, like, you know, tough guys that are like, yeah, man, I can break rules. And then takes their wallet, shows their ID inside their wallet, and then, like, taps the wallet on this glass, and then his ID is on the inside of the glass.
Yeah.
Except as you kind of pan out, you realize it is a break glass, an alarm will sound, fire extinguisher glass.
Right.
And so now he is tasked with breaking this, you know, breaking the glass and sounding the alarm so the fire department comes.
Breaking a rule, yeah.
Yeah, or leaving his ID for everybody to see behind this glass.
That's pretty good. Like,
that's a premise that has a magical way of getting to it, you know? And if you ask people, well, how'd they do that? They probably wouldn't know. But that's not the point. Like, it's not like there's, like, a big stinger, a big, like, bum, 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 like, it's behind the glass.
Yeah.
It's the point is what these guys do afterward. And that, I think, is very different. You know, it's a different way of looking at magic, and I really hope people like it. You know, it was the number one trending topic on Twitter, amongst other stuff too. It was up against the Archer premiere and a couple other very internet friendly things, and then it was in the top 10 for the most of the hour that it aired. But we'll see. You know, really, the only thing that when I was talking to Andrew last night was television is like Plinko.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can get your disc. Like the Price is Right game, Plinko.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you drop it, and it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can have a strategy of where to drop it, and maybe mathematically it makes sense that you do it from the sides or from the center or from slightly off, you know, off to the right. But really, it's your own hunch. And no matter what, it is going to be far more affected by all the pegs that it hits on the way down than anywhere where you started it. And, like, at this point, everything that that Andrew could have done has been done.
Yeah.
You know, the pitching of the show, him as a talent, you know, the promotion of it, everything that he could have done, he did.
Yeah.
And now it's just going to be, it's out of his hands. But I really hope it does. And he gives it a chance to find an audience, you know, and the ratings are good, because I think it is something that really magic hasn't seen before. And again,
I agree.
I'm hopelessly biased.
Right. But I agree with this whole point of view of I'm trying to think of another show that kind of does this, and there are probably other examples, and I can't think of them right now. But this idea that it isn't just simply, whoa, how did he do that? And it's more than that. It's this weird stranger magician relationship. It's reactionary. It's what happens after. It's what happens before. It's what happens in between. That's way more interesting to me.
Well, and then there's this overarching story about, you know, somebody actually hiring him to get back and help in their life, and all these things kind of lead up to that.
Yeah, and here's what I think he has going against him if the show is not to succeed. Because you're right, he's done all the other stuff he's supposed to do. Here's what's going against him: he's not a bearded redneck, and he doesn't have a storage war to fight. And I feel like I could be wrong, but I feel like there's some lowest common denominator kind of reality shows that rule the day sometimes, the ones that are really the biggest. Mm-hmm. And this seems to me on the surface, and having not seen the first episode, it's hard to say for sure, but it seems to be the more cerebral attempt of all of these shows. So because it isn't somebody recovering from a crack addiction or hoarding newspapers and finding dead cats under them, you know, does that kind of show have a place still?
And you know what's funny is that obviously all of this kind of comes in waves, right? Especially cable stuff, and you know, we can very easily make fun of the million different iterations of one idea. But after Andrew got a series, and I in no way believe that this was tied together, but Sci-Fi started working on a hidden camera magic show with a guy named Michael Carbonaro, mm-hmm. which will debut, I think, in a month or two. Mm-hmm. And if Andrew's show is a success, people will look at that show, I think unfairly, as like, well, look, this is the new trend, like magicians pranking people. Now we're going to get a million different magicians pranking people shows, which, by the way, will delight magicians the worldwide. But...
Right. Well, that's what you do, right? Because you start with your Duck Dynasty, and you move to Swamp People, and then you move to this other thing, and now every cable network everywhere has some bunch of rednecks throwing pumpkins at something. Yeah, and that's because, well, I mean, it's a bona fide trend. It may disgust some and piss others off or whatever, but
the big ones now are what? Storage
wars are big.
Tattoos, like 9 different tattoo shows.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of swamp shows, a bunch of wives. Did I say wives?
Yeah,
wives
are good. Yeah, there's one. I watched one where it's just some Southern dude who owns a bunch of land, and people come and have weddings there in the mud. I think it's mud something. Mud people. That's what it's called.
Oh, mud people.
That was actually kind of fun to watch.
and there we go. There's a reason.
This is why it works.
Is because they are the most fun, interesting of the tropes, and they just want to repeat it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why one of my favorite documentaries on Netflix is The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, or The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, because it's basically putting on display a thing that is really unusual and strange, and you know,
that's Johnny Knoxville's documentary.
Yeah,
right?
The Dick House production thing, and it's really, really, really interesting. In fact, dude, if you've not seen that, that's a jury watch.
No, I definitely got to watch it.
Some really weird business in that thing, and I've seen it twice. I had to make Kim watch it. She's from Mississippi, so she's there are hints of this in her history, and I just had to show her, and it was just as good the second time.
Listen, there's backwoods, there's country, and then there's West Virginia.
Yep. There's your Inception list of the South. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is you get like the backwoods country swamp kind of element to West Virginia, and then for whatever reason you elevate it, like with like that mountain area.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, there is that's a strange, strange land out there, West Virginia.
Yeah. It's a little bit odd, but it's also, I mean, and we have listeners there who are totally fine. Go to, you know, they're normal, sure, and everything's great, but there is a contingent there that is really difficult to wrestle with. And you've got to, I mean, if you haven't seen that documentary, everybody listening to me, and you're okay with a few offensive words, that's a really interesting movie.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, again, I'm from Florida. Like, you got to embrace your state's nature.
Own it.
You know,
your state's weird though. You got old people over here. You got
people losing
Cuban
their wieners to alligators over a taser.
Did I tell you guys that Fort Lauderdale was named the gayest city by population ratio in America?
Oh my gosh!
Really? Not South Beach?
Because there's more people in South. There's more people in Miami, really. Oh, South Beach is only an area of Miami. So I guess if South Beach were to break off and become its own city, it would probably win.
Yeah, there'd be your per capita.
Good point. Yeah, that's true.
My dear sweet Fort Lauderdale, gay as all hell.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
San Francisco.
Well, that's when we found out here in the big news when it hit, freaked everybody out in Salt Lake because we couldn't believe it. But Salt Lake City was voted the most gay-friendly city in America last year. I still don't know how that. I guess, I mean, whatever. I think it's one of the most friendly cities, period. But
yeah,
being voted by gay and lesbian magazines and people who make calls like that saying, yeah, Salt Lake City, most gay-friendly town in America blew my mind.
Well, you want to know, I think a lot of it, though, for stuff like that is the silent majority, to use a term by, you know, I think it was Nixon, right?
Yeah. And then everyone else.
And then everybody else. Yeah. But it's like, so what is the silent majority in the gay community? Like, probably, I mean, as much as they would, you know, support every, like, advocacy, really just want to be left the hell alone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They just want to live quiet, normal lives. Like, most humans want to live quiet, normal lives.
Right.
And that's what I've always found fascinating, is that, like, you get to these areas that people, and I think by the votes, are probably very deep red.
Sure.
And then you realize that part of those cultures are like, you stay on your land, I stay on mine.
Right.
You know? And I bring over a card for your birthday, and if we both have kids at the same time, yeah, we'll be happy to schedule play dates.
Absolutely. Part, yep.
Just trim your grass so you don't bring down the goddamn property values.
Yeah. And the land they're speaking of is, hey, if you're in Texas, that's Austin. If you're here at Salt Lake, if you're, you know, you can find, there's always this city in every conservative state.
Well, no, I mean, I think out in the hinterlands, right? Like, I mean,
like Missouri, let's say the center of Missouri.
I remember here, this is where it kind of colored it for me. I was out in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. This is like coal country, right?
Awesome.
About an hour outside, hour and a half outside of Philadelphia.
It's got carbon in its name. That's great.
Yeah. I think it was carbon. No, yeah, I don't know. I forget. Anyway, it was coal country, near Lehighton. That was the bureau I was working in.
All right.
And there was a murder, actually. And as it turned out, it was a couple, you know, two guys. One guy murdered the other guy. Okay. And like, I was interviewing all the neighbors. And this is like, you got to drive 20 minutes to get to the next house.
Yeah.
Like, this is out in the boonies.
Right.
Wow.
And I get to each house and I'm interviewing people about it. And again, this is about as red state as, you know, the reddest part of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Everybody knew they were gay. And they were all really sad and shocked that, you know, something violent had come between them. But nobody was surprised. Nobody was like, oh, they were a couple. Yeah. It was like, they all knew it.
Yeah.
Of course. And they were all, and they all had crosses on their walls, and they all had gigantic American flags out there. And it's like, it's not to say that, like, that kind of discrimination doesn't happen. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that we live in a wide, complex world, and many times things like privacy and not bothering me, you know, like, tend to reign supreme over dogma.
Yeah, and it goes back to the snakes on a plane, and maybe even the Andrew Main question, which is, the internet can explode about an issue or a thing. Or even just mainstream media can explode over an issue or a thing. But it is always important, I think, to keep the perspective that when everybody said that this giant viral sensation of Samuel L. Jackson telling these mother effing snakes to get off his mother effing plane was going to be the biggest hit of the summer, and at the box office where regular folk go, it just fizzled. A lot of people didn't even know about it. It just kind of came and went, and it didn't make the kind of money they wanted to. And I remember even being a little shocked. I'm like, that's all I heard about for months. All I heard about. And it did only that much money at the box office. Even the opening weekend was that week. And you just have to reset your perspective and go, well, yeah, that's like me and 50 of my friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's not the same as that. And that's why I'm hoping the Andrew Main thing, because you can have really good quality stuff too, fall into the same trap. You have a great show like that that deserves to be a show. Let's hope that the influence we have, or the collective whatever we have in our circles, is enough to do that. But really, is mainstream America going, there's a new magic show on and I can't wait to see it? I mean, are they really thinking about that? I hope they are. But
I'll tell you, watching the hashtag was something funny last night, because you definitely got to see, like, the glue sniffing element of America. Like, really, like, you know that you have a success when the glue sniffers turn out and just, you know, are huffing paint and then being like, man, that magic's great.
Somebody has a really good, oh, it's Aziz Ansari has a great stand-up, part of his stand-up routine, a special on Netflix, where he talks about how it's really, I don't know why I think it's so funny, but he talks about only black people are really impressed by magic. And he has this long thing about it, and I'm not going to do it any justice, so people should just watch it, but I found myself kind of laughing at that. It was pretty funny the way it was described.
There was actually a quote, I remember I made Andrew laugh, from Aziz Ansari, and I don't know if it's from that special or just, you know, his own maxim, but like, the world would be a much better place if we all treated each other the way that black people treat magicians.
That's the one. That's exactly one of the lines. Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny. It's really well done. And not racist at all. I didn't think it sounded really, I mean, just it, on the surface, right. It sounds like it could be, but it wasn't. It just made a ton of sense, and it really made me laugh.
Hey, listen. Magic in African-American neighborhoods made David Blaine a career. All right. Like that is not racist. That is a absolute fact.
That's
go back
fact.
And watch those specials and right. The reactions are the, you know, the David Blaine was credited for one gigantic seismic presentational shift in magic, which was putting the camera on the spectators instead of the magician.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he did it with extraordinarily entertaining people, which are, like, are A, New Yorkers in general, and B, New Yorkers in, you know, African-American neighborhoods.
Yeah. It's actually one of my problems with magic on TV, and it's actually why I like the Andrew Main premise, is because when you're showing me magic on TV, I don't trust any of it. I just don't trust. It's like video poker. Ryan and I talk about this all the time. It's like, no way the house hasn't got that thing totally tweaked.
Oh, yeah. By the way, and I was listening to that morning stream, and Brian very, very astutely said, by the way, they can rig. They've been rigging these games forever.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I just think it's my technological bent that makes it. When I hear a computer's involved, my skepticism meter goes off.
Oh, they can totally program that.
Exactly. And I watched, speaking of documentaries, watched that one about. Karkasov, whatever his name is, whatever the chess master guy.
Oh,
He's the one that fought Deep Blue in the 90s and lost.
Charisma or
Kazimirov, whatever. What a country. Anyway, the point is, I watched that, and this is another case where I just don't trust computers, and he didn't trust him. And there's this big. It's an interesting documentary. People should watch it, but. The point of all of that is I can watch that show and not trust it. Like, I can see Andrew May make a car disappear in the parking lot, like one of the clip shows, and know in my head that, well, you got all these camera cuts. I don't know who's editing what. That isn't interesting to me anymore. What's interesting is what you're doing with that guy, how he's reacting, how you're entertaining me around magic. Because, hey, guess what, everybody? Blue Light Special, Scott doesn't believe magic is real.
Yeah.
It's fake. So get past that part of it. And then move into what else are you doing to entertain me? And that's why I like it. I didn't mean to derail your topic, but I think it's important to note.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the huge part about it is that part of it is what the magic is expecting your reaction to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If it's like, hey, pick a card. And by the way, that's the thing. The Andrew Show, no card tricks the entire first season.
Right.
Oh, weird.
Oh, really? For the whole first season? Wow.
Whole first season. Yeah. No, they did not. Break out a single deck of cards, which I think is very cool.
Is that a thing? Like, magicians just can't stand it when people do card tricks? Is that like
no? I don't think there's anything bad with card tricks. It's just that, especially for the, you know, their first impression, I think that they wanted things to be as natural as possible.
Mm.
You know, that like things were involved in areas that you already know, and so rarely, unless you're in a casino, is it natural to be like, hey, I have
right.
cards.
Never thought about it that sure. way. Yeah, and don't ever. I mean, if it's it's always better if it's somebody else's deck anyway. Like, it's a more believable trick because if sure. it's Chris Angel's deck.
This guy's phone and this guy's driver's license and this guy's wallet and stuff like
yeah,
that.
I don't want Chris Angel's phone. I don't want Chris Angel's wallet.
Do you have a deck of cards on you?
Yeah. You got one handy? And when the guy says yes, you're like, okay.
Yeah, that's always the best. And it's always like a guy with a yard of beer around his neck, like mm-hmm. Vegas, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you have a deck of cards? Oh, yeah, of course. I always carry a deck of cards, so I like to play a little solitaire.
Yeah. I mean, the whole exclamation, how'd he do that, is still part of it. It's just less of it for me because I know it's fake. I don't know how he did it. You know, I can still make a hanky disappear for little kids.
If it's just like a little element of it, then you're like, oh, look, I wonder. I mean, that just kind of adds to it. But like, we're feeding you more information.
Right.
There's more to this story.
I think that's why I like that dude in Vegas you guys recommended we go see, and we did last year. And I can't remember his name now. Older guy,
Matt
been
Lance,
yes, Mac,
Lance Burton?
Mac,
Matt King. Yeah,
I really liked his show, not only because it felt very vaudevillian, like super old school.
Yeah,
but it again, the attention wasn't on the tricks; it was on really strong audience interaction. And even I got called up and had to do a trick with him where he told me the whole trick so I could pull it off with him.
Yeah,
and it was great. I didn't walk away going, Oh, my vision of magic has been shattered. I know how he did that beer trick. I didn't do that. I walked away going, now that's a guy who knows how to take people and build entertainment out of this. It was awesome to watch.
You know what's funny? Magicians look at Matt King as kind of like the Holy Grail. Because it, you know, there's always a be careful what you wish for magicians who want to go to Vegas and have a big night show. Because they basically, like, having a night show in Vegas is kind of like having, like, a morning show on radio.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys experience with the morning stream. It is kind of like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, it affects when you go to sleep. It affects when you wake up. It just sort of blocks out a large portion of your day.
Yeah.
An afternoon show, you can wake up at a decent hour. You can be done with your work day at about 4 or 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Still go to dinner.
Yep.
You know, you can have dates with your wife or girlfriend. And Matt King is kind of like the guy who went there, did a artistically awesome show that magicians love, and killed it in the afternoon. Like, yeah. He is, for smart magicians, he is looked at as kind of like the ones who just want to make a living doing magic and be respected for it. Mm-hmm. Matt King is looked at as kind of the gold standard.
He's awesome. I liked him. He smelled like wet burlap, though. That's something I just wanted to mention on stage.
I mean, God, how long has he been wearing those suits?
It was really bad. I got up there. It wasn't like BO or anything, but it was just like wet sack of flour. Just like, yeah, I know. It was weird.
Him and Lance Burton, who is now no longer performing on the strip, they're both from Kentucky.
Mm.
And they used to perform together. And I think it was the Six Flags in Kentucky when they were teenagers. Mm. And I've never actually seen the bit, but if I remember correctly, they used to do a bit called Zorro vs. Godzilla.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which, considering how charming the both of them are and how great performers they both are, I would love to have seen that.
I wonder if they ever did that in Vegas as like a little get back together and one off that or something. That would be awesome.
Kentucky's finest.
Yeah, Kentucky's finest, baby. Well, there you go. Interesting conversation about all sorts of stuff, and I barely remember any of it because I haven't had enough caffeine. So, Justin, is there anything else going on that you want to make sure people are aware of? You know, the usual drill like we do every week.
Big Fat Hairy NSFW show tonight. Scott Sigler joins us.
Author auteur, man. He's great.
Extraordinary. He's going to be live in studio. And then other than that, man, facebook.com/don'ttrustandrewmaine, hashtag don't trust Maine if you watch the iTunes show and you want people to see it. And again, listen, I got a call from Andrew, or text from Andrew yesterday after the show. And, you know, like you guys said, a small army can really move the needle. And between Diamond Club, Chat Realm, Tadpool, you know, like all of our loosely confederated circle of friends.
Yeah. Our incestuous gang, I like to call it.
Exactly. Yeah. The incest gang. We come snapping down the streets of Podcast Alley.
That's right. Hey, like a shark or a jet.
Scatter, everybody. It's the incest gang.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Well, take
really
it easy,
just
man.
Kind of intermingle among themselves, though. It's kind of weird.
Exactly. Have fun. And Justin R. Young on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. See you later.
Bye. See ya.
All right.
Awesome.
That's good stuff. I'm going to download that today and watch it. So,
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited when people we know and commiserate with are doing cool things.
I mean, the very first thing of the show is this thing he does at a cafe with a window, a glass between him and the people next to him. And that just astounds and baffles me. So I'm curious to see what you think.
He's super smart. The thing I noticed, this is the thing. I was on one of their episodes of, I think, Weird Things, their Weird Things podcast, which he's part of.
Mm-hmm.
This is ways back. And that time was mostly writing and doing some other stuff. But I got the impression talking to Andrew the entire conversation that he is meant for big things. Like, there's something big that needs to happen with this guy. And I remember thinking that then. That's not me toot my own horn about predicting things, but there was this sense that he was made for bigger stuff. And I hope this is the start of big stuff for him.
I'm sure it will be.
He deserved it. Nicest guy ever. All right. Got a quick beep, 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 beep. We got to talk about.
Ooh, okay.
Stinkor. Right. Remember the character?
Yeah,
the
He-Man
character.
I have one
character.
Right here. I have one sitting on my shelf behind me.
And you wanted to know, how was it after all these years that action figure still smelled bad?
Mm-hmm.
Got an answer.
All right.
This according to Metafilter.
Bacteria.
Almost 30 years after the original sale, some 80s toys are sought after for their less than pleasant odor. If you can't get a hold of one today, you'll discover that the He-Man villain Skeletor and Mossman still cling to their particular pungent aroma. Or Stinkor, not Skeletor, I'm sorry.
Right.
Many toys from the 1980s were imbued with scents with an extra gimmick, most notably the Strawberry Shortcake doll line, which had Blueberry Cheese Face and whatever their names were.
Blueberry Cheese Face. That's my new hipster band, yeah. By the way.
And associated accessories. As a selling tactic, this was mostly applied to toys firmly marketed at girls, with two notable exceptions. Despite being barely canon, Mattel thought the character was unique enough to merit its own action figure. The show's writers, they're talking about Stinkor, were less than enthusiastic about the character, and he was never featured in the cartoon. In fact, Skeletor's, or Stinkor's, only canonical appearance in the original Masters of the Universe is a mini comic packed in with the first, or with a figure called Stench of Evil.
Really?
Do you still have that?
No. Somebody just sent me the loose figure in a bag.
Mm.
In a shipping bag.
That's awesome.
I thought he sent one to you too, but he's like a little skunk dude.
I never got a Stinkor. Oh. I don't think I did. Did I? I would love that.
I thought he sent one to both of us. Like, he got them super cheap on eBay or Amazon Marketplace, and he sent it to the two of us.
And he still stinks.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you
not,
go.
Not a strong smell, but I mean, you got to put them right up against your nose. And
I guess the stuff they use then is just super permanent stinky stuff.
I guess so. Yeah.
Still safe, according to, you know, this particular post where
it's
people are
probably
commenting.
More in the joints and stuff than the actual exposed plastic. So, like, you know, if you bend his legs, then you're kind of releasing some of those.
Some of the Stinkor?
Those areas that have been protected for a long period of time.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. Well, there you go. We are done, folks. Hope you enjoyed that little piece of business right there, because I sure did. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank everybody for being here. Justin, Bill, Daryl. Gosh, anyone else? No. Me and you. I thank me and you for being here.
Sure.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. That means Tom Merritt. That means Nicole Spag. And I'm also on Tom's Tech Show tomorrow. So watch for that. I'll be guesting
on that.
Sweet. Yeah, it'll be fun. I don't know what our topics are yet, but probably this weird Google acquisition of all things will come up. I feel like Google's all set for the big backlash. They're going to get some Microsoft, Apple style, you've gotten too big backlash from people. They're going to start calling them the man soon. Yeah. So mark my words, 2014, maybe 2015 will be the year of backlash against Google for getting too big. You watch.
You know, I've got a Nest and I'm perfectly happy that Google can now see my energy usage.
I don't have a Nest. I want one.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they seem neat.
It's very smart. It's very adaptive. Like, we haven't had to adjust the thermostat. We used to be, you know, we'd have our schedule set, but we'd still have to make every once in a while adjustments. Now this thing's figured it all out, and it knows if we haven't walked by that thing in a while, it means maybe we're not home.
Mm-hmm. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think those things are neat, so I would like to get one. All right, that's it. Thank you everybody for being here. Appreciate it as always. Check us out on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. Check out our new mug. The new Morning Stream mugs are available and shipping now at frogpants.com/store. You can get a hold of one of those. That'd be great. We're also on Facebook at /TheMorningStream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at Morning Stream, at Scott Johnson, and at Coverville. All right, that's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Do you want to do a song? Okay.
I do want to do a song. This one is going out to Barb or Malachi in the Tadpool. Says, "Dear Scott and Brian, this birthday is my last before entering a new decade, and I'd love to celebrate with a cover. I'm from Canada, the place where Halifax is across the street from Vancouver and the money has holes. So if that inspires a song choice, I'd be good with that. Looking forward to seeing you at Nerdtacular 2014. Shove wet Hoth Ghoul."
Go. Oh. Okay.
Thanks, Barb or Malachi in the Tadpool. Love that.
All right.
Shove wet Hoth Ghoul.
Sure. That works for me.
How about a song covering the Canadian national treasure known as Bryan Adams, but maybe combining it with a little bit of Los Angeles heavy metal in the form of Warrant. You combine the two, both the singers, both singers did have a hit with a song called Heaven. And Rock Sugar took note of that. They saw that. They saw that both groups had Heaven songs and decided to mash them up into one. It's been a while since we've played something from Rock Sugar. And about time we do it. Yeah. This is from their album, Reimaginator. Still waiting for a follow-up from those guys. They're just awesome. This is Heaven and Heaven from Rock Sugar.
All right. Well, as Justin Robert Young would say, whoops, as Justin Robert Young would say, well, I lost it. Oh. Anyway, well, I guess I won't play
it. It's a very attractive package.
There he is. Like, yeah, I should have done package, but I was trying to find his poop thing, but I can't find it. Oh, well.
Oh.
Actually, if I search for it, there it is.
I gotta take a poop.
There you go. Thanks, Jerry. Meant to play it while I was here. There you go. Let's play it. It's Heaven in Heaven. We'll see you tomorrow.
Too hard to say. We're never. You ain't home.
Podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
How about a booby?